Welcome to the Banking Reinvented podcast. Every week, we discuss how banks can progressively modernize their customer journeys and model business operations around their customers. You're listening to Tim Rutten, and I'll be joined by Backbase CEO and founder Jouk Pleiter and other senior banking leaders from around the globe. Ready to unpack how to re-architect banking together? Let's get started. Welcome, everyone, to a new episode of Banking Reinvented, the podcast for changemakers. And today I'm super excited to finally have the first executive changemaker here in the call with me. And that is Ryan Brooks, the Chief Digital Officer from WSEC. Ryan, it's really good to see you here. Thanks for joining.
It's great to see you again, Tim.
Now, Ryan and I go back already for quite a few years. I believe we first met in 2017 or was it 2018?
Well, I think it was around 2017. I met you at a Backbase Engage over in Amsterdam. It was my first time actually overseas. And so like I was totally overwhelmed. You were super welcoming. And so this is exciting to get to reconnect digitally again. So very nice.
Totally. So 6 years later, WSECU onboarded as a Backbase customer. I think within 2018, I believe the contract was signed and you basically started moving into your transformation efforts. So I think we now have, for the first time to begin with, an actual change maker in the podcast. So we're going to look at the actual progress you've made over the past 5 years, the learnings you have, the do's and don'ts. Let's bring the color to the table as much as you are willing to share, Ryan. Having said that, we of course always kick off the episode with what is currently in the news. And we discussed the one on HSBC, where HSBC is entering the point of sale finance market, essentially with FlexiPay offerings towards consumers that allow them to do flexible payment for large purchases. How does that sit with you? What does it tell you in terms of the market?
I think a lot of people and organizations are trying to find the right way to support consumers. The consumers have lots of needs, right? And they're trying to find ways to solve those needs. And what I think consumers are trying to do is go to the most simple real-time options that serve that need. So when I think about, you know, HSBC, in the story, it talked about the lending options and the upfront cost members experience, and that being kind of a burden or a hurdle for them to get over. That's common, whether it's buy now, pay later, and whatever the solutions are. So we're seeing a lot of that in America as well. And we need to find ways that members and consumers really can find the best way to position themselves financially, both now and having an immediate solution, as well as setting them up for financial success later.
If you plot this move towards the WSECU population of members, do you feel that you have a similar value proposition to your own members, or is this a competitive move potentially in your context?
Oh, it's totally a competitive move. We use a lot of traditional products, your personal loans, your visas, as vehicles to get the member the money they need to solve the problems they have. What we then do is use our human collateral, our people, to help manage the members through those kind of changes in finances. And so we're going to have to find ways to adopt and adapt to these new options that are available to members that members are finding value in. And we just want to make sure that we're doing it in the best interest of the members' long-term financial health.
Now let's move to the meaty part of the episode. For those wondering why my audio is a bit less nice as usual, my laptop just died on me. We're now recording on an iPhone. So that's also the style we have here. We'll just keep going. Now, for the first question, just to set the stage, Ryan. Also back when we met for the first time, you were already talking about the changing member expectation, which essentially led you to make a bigger change and a move towards a platform play. Now we're 5-6 years ahead in time. You've now seen the movie play out. So there was a bit of a hypothesis back in the day. We are where we are right now. Would you be willing to share your view on A, the starting position and why you made the move to begin with, and then what you've experienced over the past 5 to 6 years in making progress?
Back when we made the decision to move to Backbase, for us, we recognized the consumer adoption of technology was moving fast, and it's only sped up since. And so that was the right call. As we continue to see it play out, what we've noticed is there's a variety of different things in play. The first being, you know, how much do we customize a product like Backbase that's premium and has out-of-the-box capabilities that we can leverage? We were at a very high level of customization right out of the gates. And so we are now kind of looking at what are the methods we can do to make sure the speed to market matches the members' expectations of technology delivery. And so consumer expectations continues to speed. That's the second component here. It continues to move at a high pace where the expectations of, you know, a financial institution are put up against the Amazons, the Microsofts, and what members experience on a day-to-day basis. I always think about consumer expectations similar to what the Tesla event recently did. If you think about the Tesla features that are coming out now, the auto summoning for me is a great kind of indicator of what consumers expect. You know, if you go back 5-10 years, you get in your car, you drive where you need to go, and everything is good. And now what Tesla is doing is saying, no, we'll come to you and then we will drive you where you need to go. And I think that's a great analogy to where consumer and expectations and financial services start to really blend. And it makes us a very opportunity rich environment. Banking is no longer a member will come to you, ask you for a loan, and then go on their way. It has to be an autonomous financial experience. We need to be there as their partners and their kind of financial guides to help them navigate through whatever it is. And we can't wait for them to come to us. We have to find ways to engage with them. And so, you know, that would, I would say, be another reason why we really felt like the Backbase platform provided us that capabilities was it's an engagement platform. It is not a transaction engine. And a lot of digital banking platforms really focus on the velocity of transactions that come through it. So you can't miss there. You have to make sure that your transactions are simple and there's a seamless experience. But it can't only be a transaction engine. It has to be so much more. And I think to our experience that our members have, you know, 70% of our members use our mobile app. Well, if we had a branch getting that much activity, we would fund it. We would have the experience be more than just moving them through the teller lines. And so we have to think about digital the same way. How would we make sure that member felt engaged and guided through whatever the situation that they were going through? They felt they seen and heard there.
Double-clicking briefly on the statement around the branch, do you still have branches in your institution?
We do. And we love the engagement that they have, not just with our members, but the communities that they're a part of. And so community give back is a huge part of what WSECU kind of sees as one of our pillars, helping, you know, build up our local communities as well as providing financial guidance along the way. So yes, we have branches across the state as well as our digital channel.
So one of the, let's say, starting positions 6-7 years ago was to say, hey, you can lower the investment level that you have in your branches. You might even deprecate a few and utilize that to, you know, cross fund your digital initiatives and maybe over time find more efficiency in your overall spend. At the same time, if you really look at the credit union communities, that doesn't sit well with the actual responsibility you have for your members, because you want to be close, you want to be member-centric, community-centric. Do you feel that there's been a nicer balance now of human and digital, or has digital really been the layer on top and you remained with the same branch investments that you have as WSECU?
Oh, this is probably one of my favorite conversations. When we first kicked off with Backbase and we were kind of developing the digital strategy, one of kind of my comments would be, if I fail in digital, I'm actually breaking two strategies and two commitments we have to members. First, I'm breaking their choice, so their choice to come to digital and have it work seamlessly. And the second is the branch, because again, they don't have choice. I'm driving them to a branch that they do not have the desire to go to for that transaction. So digital to me really does have a very important call to action that we can ensure that our branches are there to support the members that need to have a conversation with one of our consultants, whether they're talking about a mortgage that they're getting, an investment that they're making with our investment team, or just doing transactions and wanting that friendly face. So the human support that we give our members is so important. So we didn't see this as a reduce our footprint from a branch perspective. We saw it a complement too. And now that we have launched, it is really about, yeah, how do we actually expand on that and deliver even more value? One of the things that I'm talking about internally right now is you hear a lot about the digital first banks. You hear a lot about the digital only, right? They're kind of seen as some of those change makers. And we're talking about it differently here. And we talk about it as a digital plus approach. The digital plus is about being able to make sure you deliver on the digital experience a member would need, but ensuring that you have the human support when you need it. Finances are really a salient experience. They can be very emotional. And I will joke with people and say, nobody wakes up in the morning and says, I want to go do banking today. They have to. And so what we're trying to do is really help our members achieve their financial dreams. But the financial part of that is helping support what the actual dream is. The dream is getting their first home, right? The dream is getting that car that helps them get to work, get them to their kids' sports. Those are the dreams that the members truly resonate with. It's not getting a loan. It's not making a payment. They don't want to do that. They have to do that. And so we really want to make sure that those experiences that members have truly can connect with them in those salient moments and let them enjoy the first home. Let them enjoy that investment that just, hit record highs for them. Let those moments truly be the pinnacle of what they're doing, and be less worried about the process. And anyone that has gotten a mortgage can know you have to give a lot of information, and the process can be almost overburdening and take away from the excitement of that first home. But imagine if the member felt like the process was built for them and they weren't worried about that through the entire process. They got to really focus on the dream.
Which brings me to the next point of the conversation, because digital plus a human in the example that you're sharing here, to me also tells that the flow of just digitizing what was formerly manual or paper-based was not sufficient. And that was also not your strategy, if I'm hearing you correctly. To me, it tells me that there's a lot of rethinking, or there has been a lot of rethinking in the way you were operating as an institution, plus technology, to move into the new model. Can you maybe help the audience understand a little bit in what went into that thinking and how you landed to move into a platform play instead of maybe kicking the can, not taking an action, or perhaps even just going for a point solution that would fix one specific issue in one specific, let's say, product line?
Yeah. Well, I mean, financial services are an opportunity-rich environment, right? We have done processes for years, for decades. And when we went into the digital era, I think a lot of it was digitizing a form. And so in our lending process, as a great example, we had a master application that everybody kind of had to fill out to get a loan. So when you went to go digitize it, a lot of the platforms and solutions just turned that paper form into an application. Well, that turned into 72 clicks, 10 minutes, and just a burden for our members. So when we looked at the digitization process, we really looked at how can we rethink asking the questions that we need to solve for, but looking for new answers. So when we launched our digital lending experience, we really focused on what is the bare minimum we need to ask the member to get the information we need to make a decision. That's different than how do I capture all of the information this application will ever need and then move it into a decision. So, most recently, one of my colleagues here shared, we need to ask the same question, but look for new answers. And that is just kind of a great, just epitome of how we've looked at digitization of all of our processes, from lending to payments to engagement as a whole.
If I may, this also connects to the way you are organized, the way you work and plan the work. I recall that most likely you were in a big bang fashion at that moment in time, maybe also in a bit of a locked-in state. Moving to Agile, the dream sounded nice, but that's also not per se easy. It's also not always the right answer, depending on the scope of work that you have ahead of you. How was that part of the process of transforming?
Yeah, that's been a fun transformation because you're right. When going into an Agile frame of mind is not what banks are used to, right? In fact, you know, we talk about safety and soundness. So there's a lot of make sure you have all your I's dotted, your T's crossed, be ready, and know everything that could go wrong. As you know, with technology, it's moving at such a fast and rapid pace. That really doesn't, by the time you answer the questions, technology's moved five steps beyond it. So we saw this as a need to move to Agile. And so we implemented cross-functional teams and an Agile frame of mind. And that worked really, really well. It helped us take small implementations at a time, as opposed to these large waterfall projects, Big Bang. And we saw incremental growth. And each small win, when you look back, it's amazing to look at how much you've gotten done. And so we've seen a lot of that kind of velocity of value be delivered to our members. That's not to say that the Big Bang is gone, though. And so there are lots of reasons to continue doing waterfall projects. We are looking at ways we can marry the two so that they don't work in conflict, but they actually complement each other. And that has been, I think, our biggest transformation. We have five cross-functional teams, and we have about four project managers, and they really are learning how to work in concert so that we can all kind of sing off the same sheet of music.
Yeah. There was one example that you shared when we spoke about efficiency earlier, dark mode. I think it was one of the examples that you shared where you saw the difference between the old model and the new model. Perhaps you can also share with the audience, what is that example? And perhaps there's others that come to mind as well.
Yeah, no, it's a great topic because it talks about our Agile frame of mind as well as our kind of growth over the 6-7 years. What we started with was really wanting to own the member experience, and what that meant to us was we had to have kind of our fingerprint on absolutely every piece of the digital experience. As everybody that is listening to this knows, that's very cumbersome. It takes a lot of work and it is a high level of development effort. And so when you go 100% build, you take on 100% of the technical debt, and it just becomes burdensome. What we really looked at over the last 3 years was how do we actually blend build versus buy, and implementing premium products like Backbase in a way where we take what is valuable, what is really delivering the value that we're aligned with, and then pick the points that we want to customize. And the great example of why this really rang true for us was we attempted to implement dark mode years ago. And we struggled with it to the point where we actually scrapped the project and said, it's taking too long. We're struggling with some of the native capabilities, and went on our way. As an avid dark mode user, you know, that was disappointing to me. But when we went to this, you know, approach of build and buy, we started seeing the opportunity. So Backbase has the product, the dark mode, out of the box. We were able to deliver it in 2 weeks. And that native capability now is something that we don't have to spend as much time from a technical debt perspective as we had to before. So we got value out fast. So we have the speed to market. We got, you know, consumer expectations. We've got value out to the members. And we have a much more stable platform. So we're really excited about this kind of new approach to build and buy, not just recognizing that there's only one way that you must stick your foot in the sand on.
Now, you've been almost one of the first, let's say, adopters in the USA market, in the credit union space. What would you say are the biggest lessons that you've had over the past 5 to 6 years?
Yeah, I think the biggest one that we've learned recently is we make a lot of decisions and we layer rules and complexity on top of each other because we haven't solved for the root cause. And so that can be a risk tolerance. And so from a digital perspective, you might put a rule in there to cover some of your risk, as opposed to solving the identity of the person attempting to do that task. And so really trying to drive to the root cause of why you're implementing some of those rules to protect you, to keep yourself safe and sound. It's not to say that you shouldn't be safe and sound, because we have to. But if you get to the root cause, you'll actually deliver a solution that ends up being better for the member and the financial institution. I think that has been the biggest one that we've learned through this change. Is there's a lot of legacy decisions that impact us today that we just kind of carry forward as if they're necessary, and they just aren't.
I would say it sounds very logical and almost easy. Like, yeah, obviously you need to review what you have ahead of you and basically transform your thinking, your process, the way you organize, and hence how you implement a certain journey within your institution. But when it comes to timelines, and when it comes to, we need a certain level of parity towards, let's say, the old state that we're looking to replace with a newer platform, those typically, yeah, they challenge each other, those two objectives or two perspectives.
Yeah, they're in conflict. And it's the beauty of being agile, though. If you can take smaller chunks, smaller decision points, it takes a little bit more of the risk out of that. And so when you can, you know, really evaluating and taking a step back to say, what is the decision that we're looking at today? Really isolating, what's the root cause that has taken us to this problem that we have? And being able to take bite size instead of trying to fix the entire, you know, ecosystem at one time. We really have to be purposeful and direct of what is the problem that we're trying to solve.
Yeah, that's essentially progressive modernization, where you step-by-step select end-to-end use cases that you basically flip around in a new model on a platform like WSECU has been doing for many years. Now, maybe a different perspective. You've been in the journey now for 6 years. The platform is in a certain maturity level. You probably have the majority covered by now in, let's say, retail, perhaps even broader. Maybe you can speak a little bit to the current scope that's alive, and if you can, also connect it to, where did you start? Did you start in the onboarding realm? Did you start in the lending realm, and why?
Yeah, we did. We started in the retail realm at first, and really that Our thinking was, we need to get the hub of where the largest amount of transactions come through. So, you know, 90% of our transactions do come through the digital and the retail banking platform. So we really saw that as, we need to nail that experience for our members right out of the gate. And so we've focused there. We also kind of have had additional lending experiences that we are working on improving. And similar to, you know, the retail banking, we have a lot of transactions come through there. One of the core things members come to us for is loans. And so making sure that experience is seamless and really frictionless for them is a really, really close second there. So as we've kind of gone over time, you know, we've really continued to implement more and more improvements to the digital experience. What I'm excited about now is we're really getting to that true engagement approach. We're talking about what's the next best product for members. We're talking about, you know, push notifications as a method to kind of help members go through that financial guidance that they need. You know, members go through a number of different life cycles, and financial services really ebbs and flows. And if you think about other products in the market, not necessarily financial services, they're very targeted at a product in a point in time. Financial services has to kind of navigate the changing environment around the member as they move to and from those financial stages. And so for me, digital banking really has to have that same care and attention from a financial perspective for members, that if a member came into the branch, they were getting as well. we don't have the luxury in digital to have a human, you know, really reacting in real time. And that is where I think our next step of getting into AI and other types of, you know, new technologies that will help us guide members at scale in the digital channel.
Yeah. How ready do you feel you are to embrace the AI opportunity?
Yeah, that's a great question. We, you know, it's changing rapidly, and I think there's a lot of excitement around it. We're really taking kind of bite-sized approaches to it. So recognizing what are we going to do and what aren't we going to do, we've really set some of those foundational components organizationally. So we feel like we have the foundation for us to move forward. Now we've implemented a variety of AI, and knowing that there's managed, there's, you know, generative, and there's, you know, RPA or robotic process automation. We are really kind of taking the step-by-step of implementing each individual one and looking for use cases that it will solve instead of just kind of letting it go in the wild. And the core thing there is we want to make sure members are getting the right financial guidance, not just some financial guidance.
Any use case in particular you could share that you're excited about?
Yeah, you know, so from a managed perspective, we launched chatbots in all of our ecosystem. So that was exciting, but more of the managed, you know, AI, and then from a machine learning or kind of closed source, we are doing decisioning inside of our lending platforms for loans. So we haven't gotten into the generative AI realm yet, but that's kind of the next one we're looking for use cases to implement.
I could also imagine that, let's say, the latest trend of agentic AI, where multiple AI agents collaborate to get a certain business outcome, I think that also very much relates to business process optimization, and basically orchestrating those processes with agents that can just do the work practically unmanaged, almost to a degree. Is that a view that also you have at WSECU over time?
Yeah, I think over time, you know, we don't know where that will go. And I think we have some of those assumptions of, yeah, at 300,000 members, we can't, you know, have one person for each one of those members guide them through. So how we actually implement the generative AI and those bots in a way that helps the members at scale navigate real-time problems is really a core need for us. So we will get there. And, you know, as we think about the human collateral, the people that we have to support those, it's really about taking that higher value task and managing to make sure that they're treating the members the same way we would over time.
Yeah, clear. All right. A lot already to digest. Thanks, Ryan, for sharing the story so far. Maybe to give a little bit of a key takeaway view on what we heard just now from yourself. I think, first of all, with WSECU, you basically took the stance 5 to 6 years ago to say the member expectation is changing rapidly, if not exponentially. That statement still holds true. And as of now, with the latest developments in AI and how, let's say, platform players like the Amazons, like Netflix, the examples that you mentioned, the way they're adapting to this change, basically, the members expecting it similarly from their credit union, essentially. So that was the hypothesis that you started to work with. You went to market, you evaluated, you basically concluded, we need to move to a platform. And maybe before I conclude there, was there ever a moment in time, Ryan, that you felt maybe we should self-build this capability?
You know, I think there is always excitement around that, right? That sounds like a great, like I've got so much control over that. But you know, really no. You know, we're not a software organization. We're not a software development organization. So we really saw we need to partner with the right partners to deliver the best value to our members if we're going to deliver on that vision that we have.
And you're now 6 years ahead in time, so you can really conclude that it was a decision that was sound. Then the second topic we discussed at length was what you would call digital plus. And that's digital plus human, meaning it is not digital only. It is not digital first. It's basically one of many elements in the mix to service your members and to really be centric around your member. I think, interestingly enough, especially the branch conversation that was popular to have 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you see that in the mix, especially with credit unions, it's just a cornerstone of how you service your members, how you stay close to the community, which still has a digital element. I mean, those working in the branches, the teller managers, they do have a they have a digital screen, which is on the same platform where they similarly see the actual member and they can service them well on that given platform. To me, very similar to an Uber application where both the driver as well as the person taking a ride are connected, right? So that's really also the view of moving to a platform play where all the different stakeholders go through the same platform experience, essentially. But also it's a strong push on the responsibility you have for your local members, right? You take that expectation very serious, especially being a nonprofit. Hey, and then the last topic we discussed at length as well was, how do you operationalize the change? Because like it or not, whether you self-build or buy Backbase, that is not the full answer. This is organizational change. This is a change in culture. This is a change in how you organize from Big Bang to Agile or a hybrid. What I really liked listening to was the fact that you just moved team by team, use case by use case, just to get more ready to be more agile versus going black and white. Like overnight we're agile and everyone is probably ending up in a pretty chaotic atmosphere. Wrapping up, anything you would highlight or add into the mix that you would share with the audience as one of the main key takeaways of your journey so far?
Yeah, you know, I think autonomous finance is here. Consumers are expecting that autonomous experience. And so from a financial services perspective, we have to be there ready to deliver for them. Our approach from a digital plus perspective is making sure that we don't lose the salient moments and the emotional connection through that autonomous experience. And so pairing them up together for digital plus is how we are plan to execute on our vision.
100% agreed. 100%. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us for the inaugural podcast with one of our customers, one of the executives leading the change. Would you be willing to join us again for a podcast in the coming few periods?
Tim, anything, anytime. Happy to chat. Love it.
Very good. Ryan, thank you so much for spending time with us. See you soon.
Yeah, take care, Tim.
Thanks for listening to Banking Reinvented, a podcast by Backbase. Make sure to follow both Jauke and myself on LinkedIn, where we will be sharing key insights about our journey towards modernizing banking.